This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, a free-for-all Friday.
You're asking to hear something I don't want to say, but if I do say it, I think you ought to hear it.
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
All right, then you asked for it.
Yes, we did. So lay it on us. Free for All Friday means you set the tone. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Good afternoon and welcome to this very slightly delayed Free for All Friday. And thanks to our crack technical team for solving a last minute issue. And people, I apologize for the delay getting started because there is just so much to talk about today. Now, I want to talk about the annual hate fest called the Al-Quds demonstration. And some people are saying this is just a pro-Palestinian demonstration. It is a lot more than that. This is an event started by the radical Islamic regime in Iran when they took power, and it has spread around the world, and it usually features hate speech, calls for violence, calls for the eradication of Israel and Jews, and usually does not feature arrests. And it is so bad that London, England has banned it this year. What are we doing here? Well, not very much, even though it is called for right outside the U.S. consulate, where shots were fired earlier this week, in addition to shots fired at three synagogues. No arrests, as usual. Councillor Brad Bradford is calling for an injunction to stop it. The police say that they will not tolerate anything and they will be out there. So we'll see about that. But I want to talk about that and the arrangements for that. Also, we have floor crossing, always a big issue here on Fight Back. We had the fourth floor crossing in as many months from an NDP MP, which is putting the Carney government within spitting distance of its majority. There are three by-elections that are going to be held very soon. Two of them are considered to be a Liberal shoe-in ridings. I actually met the candidate at an event last night, Danielle Martin, who is running in Chrystia Freeland's old riding. She's a very prominent physician who has some big ideas about how to fix public health care. You know, female doctors, they don't have a great track record with this Liberal government, but we do wish her the best if she does get elected. So we've got the issue of floor crossing and something much more pleasant. Yesterday, we practically broke our phone lines because after the Canadian Kennel Club came out with its list of the most popular dogs, I asked you, the audience, to tell me what kind of a dog do you have and why. And I didn't have a chance to take all those calls, so happy to take them today. Now I would like to introduce our very eminent guests, Daryl Bricker, CEO of Ipsos Public Affairs, and Diane Francis, an author, commentator, and editor-at-large at The National Post. Hello and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, it's 12 minutes.
Okay, but anyway. Yes.
It's good morning somewhere.
It's good morning somewhere. And just in case anyone thought that spring had arrived here in Toronto, it hasn't. It's snowing. So, Daryl, floor crossing always gets a big reaction from our audience, from audiences beyond that. But oddly, it doesn't seem to make a dent in Mark Carney's popularity.
And that's the point. So when you ask the question, and we have on our surveys, Do you approve of this? The public doesn't. Do they think that the person who is crossing the floor should be faced with a by-election? They do. But if it was going to accumulate as any sort of problem for the prime minister and the Liberal Party, we're not seeing that in the polls at the moment. So it's one of those things that we don't like, but we're not really holding it against the Liberals that they're taking advantage of it.
Is it a question of, two very contradictory things exist at once? Because it's not just a little thing that people don't like. People get really exercised about it. And my point on it is, when we have the odd floor crossing, I don't get too exercised. It's allowed in our parliamentary system. But this seems to be a systematic strategy to override election results. And personally, I'm not really on board with that.
Well, if the shoe was on the other foot, I'm sure the Conservatives would be doing the same thing, or the NDP would be doing the same thing. So it's not something that's exclusive to any particular political party. But if there was a political price to pay for it, we're not seeing it at the moment.
Okay. And do you expect in the future?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that could accumulate here. One of them is if there is a surprise defeat in any of these by-elections, maybe that sends a bit of a different signal about how people feel about this approach to governing for Prime Minister Carney. But the other thing is, it really does make him look kind of like every other politician. Right. This is just like, shenanigans in the House of Commons in order to achieve certain types of political outcomes. So one of the things that I think he's done a great job of is kind of standing outside of what is normal politics in Canada and really presenting himself as almost a once in a lifetime type expert to be able to deal with this unique situation that we're in. But if the behavior in the House of Commons and the behavior of his government is basically the same as we've seen over the ages for all politicians, then maybe he starts looking an awful lot like them. So that differentiating aspect kind of declines. But at the moment, no fear of that.
Diane, what's your view of this?
Well, I don't like it. I think it's sleazy. You run under a certain flag and you stay with that flag. You don't walk against it, join the other side. I just think it's a betrayal to the people that voted for him. And, it's clearly a case where, the Liberals have such a lock on the federal system anyway, that, being a backbencher for 3 or 4 years is really not a very happy prospect. And he can dangle all kinds of goodies, like, a secretary, a cabinet position. They get a lot more money if they're in the cabinet. And so I'm sure that there's a little bit of enticement. I'd like to know what enticements. I think maybe they should publish whatever enticements they've been promised before they do this.
Well, yeah, and they always deny getting enticements. And in this case, the enticements were for the area, the Northwest Territories. And on his way to Norway, where he is now, I think he's already landed, he stopped to talk about all the goodies he will bring to the area. And that's the excuse. But I mean, let's face it, when MPs do this, it's to further their careers. And granted, this is the first one from the NDP. I'm not counting Dolly Begum, because she is actually running to get reelected since she dumped the provincial NDP to run in a by-election here. So, it's just when there are so many of them, Diane, it makes you wonder. I mean, it's suddenly gone from an odd quirk to a strategy.
Well, yeah, of course. And he's got lots of toys to give away. It can be trips. It can be appointments to a conference that's coming up. It can be, jobs for their friends and their kids. I don't know. But I think that it's sleazy. I think the very act of it is sleazy. And you know that they've been incentivized somehow. And that makes it even worse. So I think the prime minister should somehow disclose whatever conversations he had to woo these people and what the terms and conditions are of their joining.
There's a lot more I think they should disclose before that. Let us take a call from Jerry in Markham. Hi, Jerry.
Good afternoon, Libby. Just a comment on floor crossing. If a Toronto City Councillor is offered and accepts a bribe, that's called corruption. How come if one of the carnivores offers a floor crosser a bribe or inducement through throwing their constituents and party under the bus, it's called acceptable behavior?
Well, Jerry, I think that comparison you're giving us shows us where you stand on it. It is, as we keep saying, it's allowed under our system, but we don't usually see it to the extent that we are seeing it now. Oh, and the other thing, you know, interesting, Daryl was talking about Carney painting himself as an unpolitician, as something extraordinary. That's the excuse, is that these are extraordinary times. Anyway, Jerry, thank you for your call. Let us go to Dawn in Hamilton. Hello, Dawn.
Hi, Libby. Happy Friday.
Thank you. Happy Friday to you.
Okay, so I'm not going to sound too happy when I do go on my rant, but I'm talking about Mark Carney's lack of transparency, which is from start to finish. That is who Mark Carney is. Okay. The other night, there was a debate in the House. He didn't show up, and it was regarding his flip-flopping with Iran. Mark Carney knew all along when he was flip-flopping back and forth that our Canadian troops had come under fire in Kuwait on March 1st. He made all those statements with that knowledge. The only reason we hear about it is because La Presse did an investigation and they revealed it. So all that was taking place and people were talking back and forth without that knowledge. But Mark Carney had that knowledge all along.
Yep.
I find his behavior sickening, to be frank with you. He's over there in Norway talking about our troops and defending the Arctic. Are Canadians aware that in the latest maneuvers up there, the training that our troops were having, 60 troops suffered severe frostbite? They were questioning the equipment they were given, and it's all being hushed up.
Okay, Dawn, thank you for that. All righty, it's time for our first break. Let me give you the numbers again. And for a text or a long-distance call, 866-740-4740. You can make a local call at 416-360-0740. We'd love to hear from you. There's all kinds of other topics. Floor crossing is always very hot here on Fight Back, but there's also, as I was saying, the issue of this Al-Quds demonstration. It comes after a week of shootings with many people believe are at least inspired or directed by Iran in our country. What do you think? Should we try to get an injunction to shut this thing down? Are you confident that the police will be able to deal with whatever comes from there? I'd like to hear from you on that. And there's also that very much more pleasant conversation about pooches. So the most popular list of dog breeds came out. And as always, the Labrador Retriever is at the top of the list. So tell me about your dog when we come back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer.
When one considers the meaning of life, it is a struggle between alternative viewpoints of life itself.
A free-for-all Friday.
And without the ability to defend one's own viewpoint against other, perhaps more aggressive ideologies, then reasonableness and moderation could quite simply disappear.
Name your topic and be as deep as you like, as long as there's a point in there somewhere. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this free-for-all Friday. Let me give the numbers out again. For a text or a long-distance call, 866-740-4740, local phone line 416-360-0740. And we are with Diane Francis, who is an author, commentator, editor-at-large at the National Post, and Daryl Bricker, the CEO of Ipsos Public Affairs. And we've been talking about the big floor crossing, the fourth in as many months. And as I was saying, this is something that our audience really does not like, but it hasn't hurt Mark Carney's popularity, at least not yet. So let's take a call on that from Camille in Scarborough. Hi, Camille.
Oh, hi there. I agree with the person who said it's a once-in-a-lifetime person that's come along at a very crucial time, and he's going to help us. And I think it's possible, and more likely, that the representatives who have crossed over have seen what Mark Carney's accomplishing and thinking, you know what, I think I agree with these policies. Like, I was a conservative, you know, but you know what, he's got good policies. They're saying Mark Carney's not like a liberal anyway, he's more like a conservative. And also the maybe the representative has met with constituents and they've said to him, look, we voted for conservatives, but we like what he's doing now. So I kind of think it might be more than just bribery or something like that.
Okay, well, you talk about his accomplishments and he has promised a number of things. What has he actually done?
Well, I mean, I haven't got a list in front of me, but he's made agreements with people. People say they're just the MOUs or whatever, but they're not. He's signing things.
First, he's
going around the world and establishing our trade agreements with new people and bigger ones with the ones we've got. Now, once he gets all that in order to make us less dependent on the U.S., then he's going to concentrate more on internal stuff, I believe.
Okay, well, let's hope so. But those agreements, first of all, they are, generally speaking, kind of too small to really make a dent. And some of them will take years, but I appreciate your optimism, Camille, and, you know, we hope you're right. Let me get to a text. This person has not left their name, and it says, I now understand why people don't vote in elections. Our votes don't amount to a hill of beans anymore. I'm 70. I've always voted. I won't be anymore. It's a waste of time. Oh, there is a name. It's George in St. Catharines. That is, to my mind, one of the big dangers. It just increases people's cynicism about the whole electoral process, Daryl.
Yeah, as you can see, there's lots of things that come out when there's no clarity as to why people did what they did. You can have positive motivations, you can have negative motivations, you've heard both. Undermining what happened in an election so recently probably has some effect on what people are thinking about what's going on. But I'd invite them to think another thing, too. I mean, one of the signals I think that you get out of this, that he's called the by-elections and he's had these fairly easy number of floor crossings, and who knows how many more we're going to have, particularly given the very weak nature of the NDP leadership convention that's happening right now. Frankly, I thought there would be more members of the NDP, members of parliament from the NDP who could be crossing, and we still might see that. But the truth is that he's going to be able to assemble a majority government probably as a result of not having another election. And what our polling shows right now is that Canadians are really not enthusiastic about having another election. They like the way that the government is headed. They like the way that Mark Carney is doing what he's doing. We can have a debate on whether it's right or wrong, whether he's presenting solutions to problems that are really solving those problems. That's another thing. I can only speak about what the political environment is like and what the public opinion environment is like. And so far, he hasn't really put a foot wrong.
Part of this, Diane, is that whole question of the cynicism around elections, and does that ultimately erode our system?
Well, of course it does, and I think that's why our turnouts, you know, are not terrific when it comes to certainly local elections and provincials as well as federal elections. I think that a lot of it is a posturing. Signing a trade deal with a country doesn't create trade. It's just two diplomats making a deal and getting a photo opportunity. Unless you lower the taxes in Canada, you pave the way for more trade to happen by settling a tariff deal with the Americans, which does affect our trade with other countries as well, and all of those sorts of things. So it's kind of a cynical posturing tour of, I'm increasing trade just because I signed deals with another diplomat. And it's just not true because, the Liberal Party for 10 years has so deteriorated the economics of doing business or the economics in general of Canada through high taxation, high spending, horrible deficits and so on, that, we have a load attached to any effort to trade abroad. So I would rather he would have attacked what we need to fix at home before he goes around signing deals.
The other thing, Darryl, you pointed out that the people generally don't want another election. Well, the opposition doesn't want another election either, given those numbers. And in terms of the Conservatives, well, Pierre Poilievre is trying to soften his image up. He's saying he's going to work with the government. He's in the States this week. But the Conservatives generally do well when there's a strong NDP. The NDP is nowhere. The federal NDP, after this floor crossing, is down to six seats. And one of them, Alexandre Boulris, who is the last person who came to power in the Orange Wave in Quebec under Jack Layton, he is thinking of jumping to provincial politics. So the NDP is nowhere. And just as a note, the floor crosser, well, she introduced and endorsed the front runner in the NDP leadership just a few days ago, Avi Lewis. I don't know how that lands, if it lands, but it's kind of makes you want to shake your head, Darryl.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the NDP's in a historical tailspin right now, and they have their leadership contest this month. We're going to see who the new leader is. Maybe that person will be someone who can resuscitate what's going on with the NDP. But normally what happens is you start to see some momentum building, and we don't really see momentum building. I mean, the NDP's come up a bit from where they were in the election at six. I mean, I think our polling's got them around nine, which is a 50% improvement, but still another historic low. I mean, they're certainly not influencing the election campaign. And, the other thing about leadership campaigns is they tend to be fairly divisive. So probably there are people who are in the caucus right now that don't think they're going to be in a great position as a result of whoever the next leader is going to be, which will be one more inducement to have them cross. But it is really ironic, in federal and provincial politics right now, that the Conservative Party and what constitutes the conservative element of Canadian politics seems to be relatively united on a provincial and a federal basis around the country, whether by, they might have different labels, but they're basically the same people federally and provincially, whereas the Liberals provincially in Canada, or with the exception of New Brunswick, are basically a disaster. And at the federal level, the other progressive party, the NDP, is a disaster, but much, much stronger at the provincial level. So one wonders over time whether there's going to be pressure at the federal level to pull something together between the Liberals and the NDP.
Okay. Let us read a text from Janice on floor crossing, and it says, Conservative and NDP members are leaving their parties. Oh, gee whiz, I wonder why. Because those two parties have shown themselves to be small thinkers and next door to irrelevant. Okay, Janice, I think you are echoing what Darryl just said, certainly about the NDP. And I have another text on the question of this Al-Quds March scheduled for tomorrow, invented, backed by Iran, and scheduled to take place outside the U.S. consulate, where there were shots fired just a few days ago. So this is Ellie. And Ellie says the demonstration happening tomorrow should be stopped immediately. Follow Britain's lead, as we don't seem to be able to lead ourselves. Use common sense. Brad Bradford just got my vote. Brad Bradford, of course, the only declared candidate for mayor, says there should be an injunction. The city should go to court to get an injunction to stop this demonstration. The city says it doesn't hand out permits for demonstrations. I don't know what the latest excuse is, but London, England, found the means to stop this particular hateful demonstration over there. Daryl, do you think this is an issue for people?
I think it very well could be. And I'd like to separate two issues here. One of them is the motivations behind the protest. People can have views one way or the other on this. I don't really want to get into it because I know that that's where people want to go with this conversation. But the political effect is less about how you feel about the issues and what you feel about public order. And one responsibility that every government has is maintaining public order. There's been a very difficult period over the space of the last couple of years, in particular, actually, particularly since October the 7th and the start of the war in Gaza and the rest of it. But there's been a very problematic situation when it comes to maintaining public order in places like the city of Toronto. And now I understand, you know, the usual view of these things is, you know, you get like a one-off event and it kind of goes away. But increasingly what we're starting to see, whether it was with the convoys in Ottawa or now with what's happened turning into regular ongoing protests in the city of Toronto with people, you know, obstructing traffic, intimidating people in neighborhoods, the shootings that we've seen at buildings and, you know, we've been lucky that it hasn't involved people. That issue of public order, that is an election issue, regardless of how you feel about the sides in the debate. And that's where Mayor Chow and the city council is actually quite vulnerable. If this thing takes place tomorrow, and it's just the beginning, a further escalation of public disorder, that splashes directly back onto the mayor. It splashes back onto the part of the administration that's responsible for policing. That includes the police force, but also the body that controls what goes on with the police from a political perspective. And it will start becoming a serious issue as we move into the election period, which is going to take place this fall. So I don't think it's like this one-off thing, because it hasn't been this one-off thing that all of a sudden, you know, it's just going to disappear and it's not going to cause any big problems. The city is going to have to deal with the consequences of this, and that lands directly at the desk of the mayor and city council.
Well, Daryl, what I want to point out about this particular demonstration is that it is the mother of all that type of disorderly demonstration, intimidating people, blocking traffic, and inciting violence and hatred. Because this demonstration has been an annual event for a long time. And I think the model and the inspiration for all those other demonstrations that we've seen that threaten public order since October the 7th. So that's where that one is, in my opinion. And I totally agree with you that the issue of public order, again, we've had all those shootings this week, not a single arrest. Generally, we've been spending millions of dollars on extra policing at these events, but nothing happens. People who are clearly breaking the law, and there's video, are not charged, usually. In the event they are charged, the charges are thrown out. So it is quite a mess, and people just don't feel safe. Diane.
Yeah, it's definitely a public safety issue, and I would encourage the police force, the head of the police, to say, hey, you know, let's not live in a vacuum here. There's a war going on that's been started by Iran. And, you know, and the Americans are fighting them and the Israelis. And that is going on. And one of the things that the terrible regime in Iran did was issue an international fatwa to all of the terrorists and sleeper cells around the world to cause trouble and protest about this war. That is out there. So to me, this is not just a little street protest by some group. I think the police chief should have backup by military and say this cannot be allowed because there is a possibility, a very big possibility, that this is going to turn into violence. You don't tell them they can't do it. You tell them you can demonstrate again. We'll return to this in 6 months' time.
Well, they're saying we will not tolerate blah, blah, blah. I mean, we'll see what happens tomorrow. But usually that has been an empty threat. Now, it's time for our second break. We'll take that break. We'll be back with more of your calls and your texts. Let me just give the numbers out again. 866-744-740. That's the text and long distance line. 416-360-0740, the local phone line. And we'll have more after the break.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer. A free-for-all Friday. Step up, say your piece, and we promise not to interrupt.
Excuse me!
Just be lively about it. We have a lot of listeners hanging on your every word. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday. Lots to talk about. Floor crossers, the upcoming Al-Quds demonstration, which in previous years has been a hate fest and which I believe is the model for the kind of unruly protests that we have been seeing here since October the 7th. By the way, there are these Al-Quds protests all over the world. They were started by the mullahs in Iran when they took power in 1979. And this year it's banned in London. And there are a lot of people who think we should do the same here. We've got Michalina in Newmarket. Hi, Michalina.
Thanks again for the opportunity to let me tell you about Bosco yesterday. But
your dog.
I wanted to make a comment about the gathering. It's undeniable that the culture clash between Christians, Jews, Hindus, and in Iran in general. I agree. Oh, I also agree with Diane's sleazy call, 100%, Diane. But to embolden a colony of people who are mixed up with super cells, how can we separate the fear? 300,000 strong marched the last time, and in truth, they're very aggressive. They park wherever they want. They yell angrily with flags everywhere. Not one Canadian flag at all. I mean, at least could they add a couple, but I personally was afraid to go to the corner store until they had left my neighborhood. And I'm not a Jew that they actively intimidate. So go Brad Bradford with your... because I think it's dangerous for him to say things like that. If the RCMP is under investigation and if people are being paid off with incentives and... You know, that's a bold
stand. I think we're... Michalina, thanks for your call. I think... we're jumping around a little there, but thank you. Let's go to Joanna in Newcastle. Hi, Joanna.
Good afternoon. Happy snow day.
Thanks.
I am a very concerned individual regarding the march that is happening in Toronto. How in the world have we come to this? It is violent. It is anti-Christian, anti-Jew, and it needs to be banned. I'm frustrated, and I am delighted to hear that London is doing that. And Libby, thank you for standing up for people.
Okay.
We greatly appreciate you.
Thank
Bye-bye
you.
Now.
I'm going to go to Ellie in Cookstown, who has a different idea. Hi, Ellie.
Oh, hi, ma'am. Now that I know that we're talking about the Al-Quds, I want to let you know that I used to live in Saudi Arabia under a burqa because I'm a nurse. I also used to work in Somalia in the Ifil refugee camps.
Right.
And they cut off the genitalia of females. It is absolutely terrible, and people need to understand that when you have a large group of Islamists putting their head to the ground in the city of Toronto, that is a call to jihad. That is not a prayer. And this needs to be taken seriously. I've lived under Mattawa, and if you go to Queens Quay, you will see that Mattawa are watching Billy Bishop Airport. It is not a joke.
What are Mattawa?
Religious police. And now look at the police. You get more and more of these Mattawa joining our police forces. And now you see the police that sexually assaulted and he's been criminally charged from Toronto Police Department as a particular Muslim man.
Oh,
how do you have
Farhan
an Orthodox Islamist in our police force?
Yeah, they had a podcast for a while. Okay, Ellie, my note said that you were not in favor of trying to get it postponed 6 months, but certainly I hear you. You have lived as a woman, an oppressed woman under an Islamist regime. And that is one of the reasons why over 300,000 Iranian Canadians want to see the end of this regime along with many, 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 many people in Iran itself. Thank you for your call. And I want to get back to this whole issue of public order. Daryl, does it come up as, I mean, crime is an issue. People say they don't feel safe. Are those two issues kind of the same, or is there something separate?
No, they're of a type. So when you go out and interview people on the topic of how, and let's just keep this to the city of Toronto for now, how the city of Toronto is doing. And we did a big survey for the Toronto Star a couple of months ago that Jordan Bidoff, the publisher of the Star, presented at the Empire Club on how things are going in the city. And basically, people who live here do not think the city is on the right track. When you ask them the issues that really concern them, they're obviously the expense in the city, how expensive it is here, particularly for things like housing. But also just below the surface, there's this sense of fear about, you know, for example, going on the subway, or lack of public order, whether it's protests like this or, you know, people in homeless encampments in our various parks. So they see that as a safety issue as well. But really, it's just like nobody in their view seems to be dealing with these elements of public disorder that previously somebody would have dealt with and we didn't see. So these things are popping up around the city in various guises, whether it's the protests we're talking about tomorrow, but all of these other things as well. And it's of a type. It's like things are being controlled by people other than the government and other than the authorities that we have here to maintain public order. And you get demonstrations as an example, but you also get all these other things. So it's of a type. And what it does is it underscores this point that the city of Toronto is not headed in the direction that the people who live here want it to go. I mean, there are other people, obviously, who celebrate some of these things, but they're a minority in the Toronto population. Most people in the city of Toronto think that this is a great place to live, but they think it's headed in the wrong direction.
Yeah, and it's not as good as it used to be. And I would even wonder, do problems like the congestion and the crazy driving it often leads to, is that kind of adjacent or part of that?
100%. It's about things not working the way that they used to, but not in a sense of nostalgia. They just don't understand why it would have got so bad. I mean, like, why traffic is so bad. It never was as big a problem before. And then they see things like, for example, bike lanes springing up all over the place. And you can have your position on that one way or another, but that becomes a lightning rod about traffic. You see things about the Gardiner Expressway, whether we should be repairing it, tearing it down or whatever, indecisiveness around some of these things. And that comes up as a bit of a lightning rod. And then you get these public order issues, which basically communicate to people living in the city of Toronto that nobody's in charge, that nobody's dealing with this, at least not firmly enough to make sure that the city goes in the right direction. So the interesting thing in all of this, Libby, is that normally an incumbent mayor does not struggle with the challenge. I mean, going back to the time that we amalgamated the city of Toronto, there really hasn't been a significant challenge to any incumbent mayor. I mean, we've had a couple that have resigned, like David Miller, for example, when he knew he was going to face a difficult circumstance. But we've had no incumbent mayor defeated since the beginning of amalgamation back in the 90s. This time around, we actually have a competitive election coming up for mayor of the city of Toronto. And that's not because people are pleased with the situation. In fact, the candidates that have been offered up as alternative mayors are not people who have particularly high profiles after John Tory, for example, but they're still able in the polling to at least build a constituency. And that's not because people are jumping on their bandwagon. It's because people are looking for an alternative to what's going on in the city.
Yeah, but interesting, this week, Diane, there was, after John Tory said he's not running again, there was a poll showing Brad Bradford, the only declared candidate, neck and neck with Olivia Chow. But then there was another poll this week that showed her well ahead of him.
Well, polling, I mean, Terrell knows book and verse about polling. It depends on who did it, what time of day, who they asked, how they asked it, what did they use, the cell phones or did they use landlines? I mean, these things are just scattered all over the place, and they're not often done to the extent that they should be. I think people are upset, and you know, I go back to, again, beyond local politics. Let's go to Ottawa, and Trudeau decided that Canada was going to grow if we let in millions of new people. And that has happened without one more doctor brought into the country or teacher. And you know, because Canada is a big, empty country. Well, they only went to Toronto and Vancouver. So you want to know why we have traffic, high housing prices, problems with our healthcare system and education. We're just jammed to the gills with people. And there was no forethought and for planning, and it was just dumped on the province's heads to try and cope with it. That is the big picture. That's why everybody knows there is a deterioration in the quality of life in a city that was one of the best before all this started, and I still think it ranks up there.
Okay, I'm going to read a couple of texts on the Al-Quds rally. This from someone who didn't give their name. And it says, does it take someone to be hurt for them to shut this rally down? Where are the smart people hiding? And another one from Deb this time. And it says, where are the other councillors assigned from James Pasternak and Brad Bradford speaking up versus this rally? Well, they aren't. They are not speaking up against this rally, and I'm sure that the left-wing so-called progressive coalition that backs Olivia Chow and that runs the city or doesn't run the city has no interest in doing that, and that is part of the reason that we're in the situation that we are in. Anyway, this thing is happening tomorrow, and we'll see how it turns out. I'd also be very curious to see the policing bill for it, because there is going to be a very big police presence, and whether there are any arrests. This week, we also talked to Karim Assad, who documents a lot of these protests. She goes out there, she's a brave woman with her video camera, and she posts these things. And if you go online, you can see clearly when laws are being broken, but there is no consequence. I'm going to take another call on the floor crossing before the show ends. We've got Pat in Toronto. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Libby. Your comment the other day of concern with regard to the floor crossing, what hit me was what Trudeau did, or, you know, Trudeau's son, when he got in bed with the NDP. I mean, I certainly, if I was voting Liberal at that time, I wasn't voting for the NDP. So, you know, this is the issue. And one of the problems we've got right now is this concept of political parties, which the NDP has at the city level. Because, as I think I told you, my old constituent was Bill Davis, who pointed out that at the municipal level in Ontario, there are not supposed to be political parties. And I do believe it makes for the best democracy, even though it's a slow process.
Okay, Pat, I think we have time for one more call. Let's go with Susan in Toronto. Hi, Susan.
Hi. Okay. I think if the hatred or the shootings or anything was at a mosque, yeah, that's right. I'm going to say that. It would be very different. It would be much more taken seriously. I think that we're not getting enough retaliation. This is really disturbing and disgusting, and this is not the Toronto that I know. And yeah, and Olivia Chow, that's another thing, does nothing. That's my opinion.
Okay, Susan, thank you for that. We've got a minute left, which I'm going to give to our guests. So, Daryl, what from this week, which is marked by floor crossing and by this question of public order and the shootings, what, in your opinion, has most legs as we head into March break week this coming week?
I think for this audience, it's going to be what happens tomorrow in the city of Toronto. But, you know, the issue that's going to have the most legs is what's going on in the Middle East right now and how it's going to affect our economy and the effect that that's going to have on our standard of living here in Canada over the short to medium term. So if you want an issue with legs, check that one out.
And Diane, your view?
I agree 100%.
Okay. Well, there's no sign in a let-up, and there's also no sign of regime change for the moment. So we watch it very closely and hope for the best, as always. That's all the time we have for Fight Back for today and for this week. Thank you so much, Diane Francis, author, commentator, and editor-at-large at the National Post, and Daryl Bricker, the CEO of Ipsos Public Affairs. I'm Libby Znaimer. I'll be back here on Monday, and we will talk then.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.